You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Rodo. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Rodo Experts in the Morning starts now.
It is Tuesday, May 23rd, 2017, and this is the Roto Experts in the Morning. Alongside the Fantasy Executive, Corey Parson, King, Scott Engel, and CCM Baseball's Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman. Fun show for you today. Going up 2 more hours for you, 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Of course, the old school Fantasy Hour, the OGs, come up next. Scotty, good morning, my man.
I'm doing good. How are you today, Greg?
I'm doing fine. Working my way through. Early in the week, got a lot going on. Doing all right. Good. All right. Not much going on over that corner of the room. Matty, how you doing, man?
Doing good. Zach Greinke continues to dominate in the desert. And 1 p.m. today, my first NFFC draft champion starts.
Get excited. First one of the year. Is that like a special occasion for you?
Yeah, kind of.
Corey, man, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing good, Greg. When you gonna do your first draft?
I don't know.
You don't know?
August, maybe.
August. Yeah. That's why you don't win championships.
Who says I don't win championships?
Championships are won now.
Who says I don't win championships, man?
I'm just asking you. Do you win championships?
I'd like to think I do, yeah.
All right, well, cool. You can't wait till August. Scott, when you doing your first draft?
I'm on one, might be looking at one pretty soon, maybe in June, like June.
Yeah, because you know your homeboy sent the MO, we got to do the draft for the magazine, for Kreutz's magazine, Lord Michael's joint.
Yeah.
So we got to do that one. We're doing that next week. You know what I'm saying?
I wasn't invited to that one.
You want me to pull some strings for you?
No. I call Peter and bash him around myself.
I pulled some strings for you, you know, Scott. You know I'm a big deal. You know
I'm not
that,
really
right?
Sure what
I actually pulled strings for you.
Yeah.
You know,
so. I'm not really sure how I don't win ships is related to me drafting now or in August.
You got to get ready now, Greg. You got to be ready when August comes.
Oh, I'll be ready.
We got to hit the ground running.
I'll be ready. The Roto Express Exclusive Edge Patch comes out June 14th, and I will be ready.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good time.
I will 100% be ready for that.
No doubt.
Believe I was waiting for the Baywatch theme song to come in.
Well, you said August, Greg. I didn't say August.
I said August. Absolutely, I said August. No question about it. Because to me, and you know how I feel about this, what you're doing now in drafting in May is going to be very, very different from what you do in August.
Not necessarily. The rosters are set.
Sure, but injuries haven't happened yet. Training camp hasn't started.
Injuries haven't happened, but and we still have depth chart battles to watch. But as Corey and I have talked about before, it's like a double edge to like drafting that early because A, you can end up with a value, but B, then you could also get burned with an injury.
Sure, you'll get the value, no doubt about that, on some players who will certainly rise throughout draft season. But ultimately, you know, I've always been a late drafter, and I'll get to
that's all good. Yeah.
I don't think so. You're a little bit on edge.
No, I'm not on edge. I'm just saying you want to win some chips. We got to get rolling. But I trust your strategy. It works for you.
Thank you, Corey. June 14th, Roto Experts Exclusive Edge Package. We take a break. When we come back, we're going to check in on Steph Curry, the Warriors, and Odell Beckham Jr. Stick around. This is Roto Experts in the Morning.
Dub Nation
are back, year three, trying to get some revenge on last year as they await the Cavs inside the NBA Finals, perhaps Manu Ginobili's final game of his NFL career.
NBA
career. We're talking about the NFL during the break. You got me all heated now. It's all your fault.
You think he's a Hall of Famer?
Yes.
Manu?
I do.
Yeah, I agree.
Think so too.
Manu Ginobili is definitely a Hall of Famer.
I do.
Golden State is 27-1. Their last loss was, I think, April 10th versus the Jazz.
Where do they rank among the greatest teams of all time, you think?
He loves this question.
It's too
soon.
I don't want to be a prisoner to time. obviously, you have the great Chicago Bulls teams, right?
The Lakers.
The Lakers and the C's, they all had great teams.
Yeah.
This is Miami. You can't sleep on what Miami did with Braun and Wade. But this team right there is a new millennium team, post-2000 team. This is very impressive. They're playing better than they played last year.
Yeah, I mean, they have Kevin Durant.
It would make it. That's probably why. Yeah.
It would have been more impressive if they would have won last year, too.
Well, last year, they were very close to winning last year. They had a 3-1 lead. They should have won last year. But people say, well, you say they should have won last year. What if Kyrie doesn't get hurt the first year they play?
100%.
Yeah, well, you know, Curry's talking about last night about wanting to get back to that point because, you know, game 7 from last year still gnaws at him, and he's back to that point.
He don't want to do game 7 this year either, though. Because game 7, I think we all agree, if Cavs Warriors go to a 7th game, the Cleveland Cavaliers would be the favorite in the 7th game.
I can't say that. In Golden State, I can't say they'll be the favorite.
They have LeBron James.
They will not be the favorite in that game.
They have LeBron James.
I get it. They will not be favored in that game.
But did LeBron James win game 7 by block? I mean, that was pretty incredible.
It was unbelievable. I'm just telling you, they won't be favored.
Okay, they may not be the favorite in Las Vegas, but you got to think the public would be like, if it goes to a 7th game, the public is going to say LeBron James is going to figure out a way to win this game.
I'm going to play
like
LeBron
he did last
best
year.
Player versus best
that
team.
Block last year, they said for him
iconic.
To catch him, there was like on Sports Science, I watched it. It was like that was like an animal.
Sure.
Like that was like a human being shouldn't be able to do that.
Yeah, 100%. It was
human.
I mean, it's amazing because that has become LeBron's iconic play, right? Like that's the one you will always remember about LeBron was the block.
Mm-hmm.
It's very very interesting. They are not the only team to punch their ticket to the finals last
night. Yeah, well, Smashville, right?
Nashville Predators are headed to the Stanley Cup final. How about that, Peter Laviolette? His third Stanley Cup final.
I'm excited.
I think he's like the first American coach to reach the Stanley Cup with three different teams.
There you go, Scott. Wow. Can you name the other teams he has reached the finals with?
No.
Oh, let me get the Blackhawks?
No.
Oh.
I'm not even sure. The other three.
The other two, because this is his third.
The other two, he. Was he coach Carolina?
I have no idea.
The Flames?
It was so.
Calgary, right?
Just squad.
Calgary Flames is true. Yes.
Sorry. Scott's juvenile.
Carolina's correct.
Okay, Carolina's one.
Carolina's
one.
He went with the Panthers? I mean, the Hurricanes?
He went with the Hurricanes, yeah.
Wow.
Won the Stanley Cup with the Hurricanes.
Peter Laviolette. He's American?
Yes.
Okay, that's like Frenchy.
Yeah.
So he went with the Penguins?
No.
To what? The Ducks?
No.
Did you say the Ducks like first?
Was it an Eastern or Western Conference?
Eastern.
The Kings?
That's not in the East.
The Kings is Los Angeles, Scott.
The Capitals? No, the Capitals, they have reached the Eastern Conference Finals.
The Flyers?
There you go.
Oh, the Philadelphia Flyers. I forgot he coached the Flyers, yeah.
There you go.
Y'all was watching my man Gabe Morrissey last night. He was, I was watching some, because you know I subscribe to FNTSY on YouTube.
Sure.
And I was watching Gabe Morrissey's take on LaVar Ball. And he was talking about how LaVar Ball is like a guy sitting at the end of the ball. I would have been playing for the Flyers if I didn't blow out my knees. I love Gabe. Check out Gabe. Holla at me. Did everybody get to go on Gabe's show except me?
Well, I think I know why.
I haven't been.
I think I know why you haven't been invited on.
Why is that?
Because I believe his last name is Morency. But
no, yeah. Good one, Matika.
What do you mean?
I said Morency. His name is Morency.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Got it. Yeah, I've been on Gabe's show. Yeah.
Oh, you have?
Yeah. Thanks.
What the hell? You've been on the show, Sussman?
Yes.
What the hell is going on?
Sometimes.
Oh, I know why.
fake Warriors fan.
That's probably why. Yeah.
Rocking the Golden State with the
Warriors. Yeah, Dub Nation. Shout out to Dub Nation.
You can wear your Nashville hat to support the Predators.
Smashville.
Yeah, I will support them. I hope they win. I mean, look, the Penguins are going to win tonight, and they've got their Stanley Cup, so it'll be good for hockey.
For the Predators to win.
Yeah, for the, you know, just the whole fan base getting excited now.
Is Nashville a good fan base?
Well, I don't know how great the fan base is, but I think, you know, everybody loves a winner, right?
They said it's one of the loudest arenas in the NHL,
really?
Yeah.
All right.
Smashville?
They got Garth Brooks, I'm sure, will be singing.
Yeah, they had a whole bunch of country singers, like, during the playoffs. They had a different top country artist sing the national anthem.
I mean, I've only heard good things about Nashville. I would like to go. My wife was there last month, and she really raved about it, too.
How was your birthday yesterday, by the way?
It was very good. I watched Twin Peaks.
Okay.
Which was really trippy. And then after that, which made it even worse, was I had to walk my mom through on demand over the phone.
Oh, my God.
You know, my mind was like blown after
Oh, that. My God. I don't think I'd be able to control myself, honestly. I think I'd lose my damn mind.
It took every bit of patience that I had.
I don't think I could do it. I really don't think I could do it.
I was like, okay.
Well, you better do it.
I do, but I get angry every time I do.
You know, I was getting, but you know,
see, when his mom was in labor, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
She wasn't angry when your mom was in labor giving birth to a pop star.
You got jokes this morning, huh?
I'm just fooling with you, Greg.
Better watch out, though. Greg was like, you know, on his game yesterday, like dishing out some shots. If it carries into today, you'll be in trouble, Corey.
Yeah, I don't want no problem with Sussman.
Corey, we were talking during the break.
What's up?
About your Isaiah Crowell love again. Before You are. This is your guy this year. You are all in on Isaiah Crowell.
I don't want to be overexposed, but I'm definitely going to have a lot. Listen, I don't see
You called him, quote, a top 10 running
back. He's a top 10 fantasy back for me going into 2017.
I will take him over Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah, no doubt. I didn't even pull him. I had no problem with that. Let me pull up these rankings right here. I got him at number 10 in my rankings. I'm buying in because look, the guy's going to. I think he gets more attempts this year. He was already good in his attempts last year. I think he's better than guys like Jay Ajayi and Lamar Miller. I trust him more. I think the offense improves this year. I think Hugh Jackson can scheme that thing. I feel very good about Mr. Isaiah Crowell, running back of the Cleveland Browns. Duke Johnson is kind of an afterthought. Do I think he rebounds? I'm getting involved. Holla at the fantasy executive.
Okay. How about this? What is your thoughts on, say, Todd Gurley this season? I know you love to use the term last year's trash. They did acquire Andrew Whitworth from free agency. Are you believing this is the year? Say they got guys like Robert Woods who can help Goff out, I think, a lot. You know, he can't be any worse than he was last year, so.
I got him at number 6. I think he has a bounce back season. I got him at number 6. Okay. Todd Gurley is 6.
Going back
a point and then a question.
Okay.
I don't see how the offense improves all that much. I think
which one?
Cleveland.
Okay.
I still think there's a significant quarterback issue there. I'm not saying that the rookie won't eventually be good. I just don't think he's ready, and that's why he got drafted where he got drafted. Cody Kessler had like one good game last year. I don't think from wire to wire this is a guy that I can trust. I think that's going to hold Crowell's numbers back. In terms of talent, I agree with you. I really didn't like Isaiah Crowell last year. I was wrong. I was wrong overall. I warmed up to him. He's still very inconsistent because I believe that team's still going to play from behind a lot, and the quarterback situation is bad. My question for you, who do you have directly ranked behind him?
Directly behind Isaiah Crowell or Jay Ajayi and Lamar Miller?
Yeah, I couldn't take him over.
Let me read you the last 7 weeks of Isaiah Crowell's season.
Okay, now you're talking
fantasy
about
season. We don't care about week 17, right?
You're talking about a team that had won one game.
You're talking about this is the running back. He's in your top 10. So
okay.
You told me, right? Okay,
mm-hmm.
We'll start week 9. We'll go through the end.
Okay.
Okay, week 9. 6 rushes for 4 yards.
All right, obviously playing from behind.
Correct. Against the Cowboys, by the way.
Oh, they got stomped. I remember that game.
But he did have 4 catches for 63 yards.
I'm about to say
he had 4 receptions for 63 yards in that game.
Because I think I'm looking it up right now. If I'm not mistaken, I just saw this last night. Crowell had 40 catches last year.
He had 40 catches on the dot last year.
I think
year.
The second half of the season, he even out targets and catches for Duke Johnson.
There you go.
Let me continue. Yeah, against Baltimore, 9 rushes for 23 yards.
Okay,
3 for 30. 8 rushes. Next game is Pittsburgh. 8 rushes for 10 yards.
Okay.
5 receptions, 13 yards.
Okay.
Next game against the Giants, 16 carries, 44 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Notice I haven't said touchdown yet, by the way.
Okay.
Okay. He had 6 for 47 receiving.
All right.
All right. Against Cincinnati, 10 rushes, 113 yards.
Okay.
And 1 catch for 5 yards. Against Buffalo, 8 rushes, 28 yards. No catches. Last game was against San Diego. It was a great game. He had 54 yards rushing and 2 touchdowns.
Okay.
2 touchdowns in 8 weeks.
So you're talking about the touchdown aspect of it. You're talking about the touchdown aspect of it. This is going to be a better team in 2000.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. Scott's going to be a better team.
It's going to be quarterback problems.
When we come back, I got to make a point.
All right, we'll do that at the point. We'll get back into baseball. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
I'm Clint Frazier, and you're listening to Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
We wanted to get into baseball, of course, but I want to give Corey an opportunity to respond here. I went over like Isaiah Crowell's game log, in particular the last seven or eight games here of the season, where he had two touchdowns, of course, both coming in week 16. I thought, you know, he got off to a fast start, but he's in the top 10 for Corey. In the top 10 running backs here, which makes him an RB1, obviously. He was a high RB2 last year. When it was all said and done, when you look at the PPR rankings, Corey projects him to be a top 10 running back this year. Corey, I want to give you the opportunity to respond.
He averaged 12 points a game last year. Lamar Miller averaged 13. Jay Ajayi averaged 14. Jay Ajayi was the backbone of a team that went to the playoffs.
Yes, sir.
By running the football.
Yes, sir.
He had, Jay Ajayi had 65 more carries than what Isaiah Crowell did. I think Isaiah Crowell attempts, his carries go up this year because I think the Cleveland Browns would be a better team. As far as Lamar Miller almost had 100 more carries than him. Lamar Miller averaged 13 fantasy points a game. That's not efficient. Isaiah Crowell is very efficient. I'll bank on that efficiency more than I'll bank on prodders like Jay Ajayi and Lamar Miller. They really have no, their only skill is the fact that they're out there getting the football. If Jay Ajayi had, if Crowell got those kind of attempts, He would easily be a top 10 running back. And I think the Cleveland Browns are a better football team this year.
I don't see how they're a much better football team because I think the quarterback situation is a real issue. Yeah, they got Kenny Britt, but it's not a major step up, I don't think, at receiver. When you say that he should get more attempts, I think defensive coordinators are going to know that. Looking at the quarterback situation, You when you go in and you defend that team, I think you look to stop an Isaiah Crowell first.
Okay.
And unless they have the quarterbacks, which I don't think they can do, to consistently keep defenses honest, I don't think that this team's going to be better. They got a real quarterback situation. The offense hasn't improved a lot. Jay Ajayi's on a better team. Now, you could look at the average points a game, but I don't think Isaiah Crowell is talented enough to rush for more than 200 yards in a game, more than once in a season like Jay Ajayi is. And it would not shock me to see Jay Ajayi even improve his week-to-week consistency, which to me will put ahead of Crowell. Now, I'm not saying Crowell sucks, but I don't think the situation around him gets much better. You want to tell me about Cody Kessler? The guy had one good game last year. I have no confidence that guy that can be a consistent NFL starter, and the rookie is way too green.
Everything you're saying is true, but I think Hugh Jackson can get the job done at the quarterback position. Take the stress level, lower the noise in the young quarterback head, and open and have him in position to drive the bus, open up the offense, let Crowell be the lead dog.
I think that's too much to ask of that rookie quarterback.
Second year.
I just think Cody Kessler. When I watched Cody Kessler on film last year, I may give it to you that Hugh Jackson could do something with a quarterback, but that kid is way too erratic. That is a career backup, Cody Kessler.
Okay, maybe he will be eventually. Last season, he had a 60% completion rate as a rookie. Adjusted yards per pass was 7.0. He's better than you think he is. I want him to be the quarterback.
I disagree
going
with you. I don't think
season,
he's better than I think he is.
Their
he had
line.
One. He had one
okay,
good game last
I,
year.
Can I just finish? can I get a couple of words?
I love it.
Not really. No, let's go back to Corey.
So I mean, I think you're underestimating this Cleveland team. Are they going to be great? Absolutely not. Are they going to be better than a one-win team? Yes, they will be. If Coleman's healthy, I do like the addition of Kenny Britt. I think Kenny Britt and Terrell Pryor are very similar guys. And I think this is just a better team heading in. And like I said, I think the running game, what he was able to do as far as pass catching as well, I wouldn't have him. I mean, there are guys I can make the argument I'm going to have. I wouldn't have him as high as Corey, maybe a couple of spots back. But I do think people sleep on Isaiah Crowell.
So then you and me kind of agree then in a way. We're looking at it differently.
I like the quarterback.
I don't hate Isaiah Crowell. I have a few spots back. I mean, he might be about, I haven't done my ranks yet, but he's about 15th. I'll disagree with you on Kessler because I look at his game log and I watched him play last year. The guy had one good game. It's, you know, Kenny Britt, nice addition, but I don't think it's superstar either.
If we look at rookie quarterbacks with bad lines, going back to even Peyton Manning and stuff like that, none of them succeeded. So, I mean, I'm not saying this kid is great by any means or he's a really good quarterback. I think he's better than what you're saying he is.
Gary Davenport, your buddy, was on the news desk yesterday, yeah. And we asked him about Isaiah Crowell. He said he had Crowell 15th, right? So that's probably around the range that you'll have him in. I think he's better than Jay Ajayi and Lamar Miller. I like him better than McCaffrey and Fournette, and I think he's better than Carlos Hyde.
Well, Carlos Hyde, we always know he'd get hurt. I like Carlos Hyde. I don't know if I like him better than Fournette. To me, Fournette has no offensive line. That's almost a push.
Their offensive line is pitiful, and Brandon Albert hasn't showed up yet.
But you know what,
and may
though?
Not show up.
But you know what, though? That team is going to move the ball and get him to position to cash in on touchdowns. You know, me and him just disagree. I think Cody Kessler's a ham and egger. The only reason people paid attention to him is because they expected absolutely nothing.
So ultimately for me, where I am on Cody Kessler and this Browns team, I think it's very, very hard to judge Cody Kessler. He didn't play 10 games last year, and he's a rookie. It wasn't a rookie that was supposed to start anytime soon, right? Like, to call him a ham and egger right now, like, I don't think we've seen enough to judge Cody Kessler personally as a ham and egger. I think if you want to compare Fournette and Crowell, like, I think the Browns' offensive line, which improved because they made some improvements in this offseason. Obviously, Joe Thomas is still there, right? Like, their offensive line is without question better than Jacksonville's offensive line. Now, is Crowell better than Fournette? Probably not. However, I would also probably rather have Crowell than Fournette because we've seen him do it before, and they do have a better offensive line. I'm going to have Crowell somewhere around the 10 to 15 range as well. I like Lamar Miller better. I like Jay Ajayi better. I'm not as high as Corey. I think the three of us outside of Corey are all in the same range with Isaiah Crowell, right? Like, we're not, like, very far off at all. So we're kind of arguing bits and pieces.
All right, but here's the thing. I want to ask him a question. No, because let me say this about Fournette quick. Be careful with Fournette. Three of the first four weeks, he has the Jets, the Texans, and the Ravens. Those are very stout defensive lines going up against a poor offensive line. Leonard Fournette is going to get off to a slow start. He is.
Well, let me ask you a question. You're the big Fournette guy. Okay. Fournette or Crowell?
I'm probably going to go Fournette. I think what we're looking at is a special talent here. I think this guy is going to score touchdowns, as you say. Tom Coughlin decided to go with him at number four, which I think is the right decision. I know some people will point out stats about, let's say, maybe Cook was more elusive in college and even Kareem Hunt and stuff like that. But look where Fournette played his games in the SEC. Mm-hmm. You have to factor in the talent that he was going up. I mean,
this really is
their offense. And LSU's offense is not a prolific offense in any ways. It's kind of a terrible
offense. They're one of the worst offenses.
So, I mean, I'm looking at it, a guy that I consider to be very special. So, yes, I mean, Fournette to me is probably not a top 10 back in PPR. He's behind that. But I would probably take him ahead of Isaiah Crowell.
I have him. I got Crowell number 10 in a third round draft pick.
I would. You wouldn't have to take him in the third round, though. Probably.
Well, I think
because his reputation.
I think what's going to be interesting, and we're going to be able to find this out real soon, from my draft today. I picked fifth, so in the second round, I'm not going to reach on a running back. I will not do that, especially in a PPR format. If I have to, I will take the two wide receivers. So it's going to be interesting to see who is there. I want to see what these guys are thinking early on because it's been known to be a heavy wide receiver leagues in the NFFC. So I want to see if everybody's still going all in on wide receivers. If there's not a running back I like there, I don't pick because it's third round reversal. I don't pick towards the end of the third round.
Then Isaiah Crowell would be there.
And if I had to, I would start with him.
By the way, you gave me those three matchups for Fournette coming out of the gate. Those are three of the first five teams that the Browns play, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he'll have some tough matches.
The Browns have a good offensive line. The Jaguars don't.
Yeah, but the Jaguars have a better quarterback. They have
That's arguable.
Better
one. That's arguable.
I would play take Blake Bortles over Cody Kessler.
I would have to do some research. I want to see how Jacksonville was last season.
I've seen a lot of Blake Bortles, and I know that he's a terrible quarterback. Forget fantasy. I know in real life he's a terrible quarterback.
But to the point, though, he said he doesn't get a lot of protection.
But I want to see. I want to see what Jacksonville
moves the offense, though.
Did inside the opponent's 10 last season.
Sure,
That's something I want to keep
talking. Inside the 10. Yeah,
that's like, what I'm saying. Now Fournette's you add such a back a big like difference. That. You had a big back in there. Yeah. That helps.
Crowell put 133 yards on the Ravens last year when that O line was healthy. Remember, the O-line started to break down towards the end of the season. When that O-line was healthy, they put 133 yards on the Ravens. And Ravens had number one run defense for a long time last season. I'm telling you, the kid can play. Y'all don't have to – listen, then I'll just win all the money if y'all want to sleep on him.
Well, if you want to ride with a Cleveland Brown, go ahead.
If you look at at Cleveland's offensive line, it's gotten better, right? Like they have made signings and they have worked hard. Like signing Joel Bitonio, right? Like that's a move they had to make, and going out there and just constantly improving this offensive line during the offseason, like this is a team that got better, and I know how you feel, and Kevin Zeitler as well, right? Like this is a team that got better.
There you go. And then
I'm not ranking Crowell in my top 10. I'm not.
But when you look at it, who are you going to put there? Carlos Hyde? C.J. Anderson?
No.
Yeah.
I like Carlos Hyde.
So you're going to put the two rookies there.
But then you almost
there.
Get into a thing of like, okay, I'm ranking him 10 by default.
So let's do Tevin Coleman. Let's do Tevin Coleman or Crowell.
You're saying Crowell. I'm ranking him 10 almost by default because I don't like the guys behind him. That still doesn't mean I can depend on the guy.
Well, how about this with the Browns? Four of the five offensive linemen have a grade of 83 or higher, according to Pro Football Focus. And now the wild card for the Browns, too, is this rookie tight end.
Yeah.
I mean, this kid is a special athlete. I don't know if he's...
It's going to be tough for him with the young quarterback.
Especially the tight ends and stuff like that.
The Browns are the Cowboys without a quarterback.
No. That's Bryant's not Kenny Britt.
Oh, that's they don't have a weapon on the outside.
And still, rookie tight end.
Isaiah Crowell's not
throw that together.
No. But you get what I'm saying. End. They're JV Cowboys.
Can't agree with that. Take a break. We'll come back. We're getting into baseball from last night. We'll start choosing your own adventure. Our Road Experts at the Park coming away soon as well. Road Experts in the morning. We roll on right after this. Experts in the morning, and I can assure you during the break, the heat was still on in this room. And actually, for once, put me the temperature. It was just in that side. And that side, we're trying to go over some statistics, and we're all still fighting it out. And of course, none of this will be solved until the games are played. We'll try to solve it June 14th. Road Experts exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package debuts. We'll have you covered on that day from morning till night. It's going to be awesome. Wire-to-wire football coverage June 14th. And then onwards from there, we'll be talking a lot of football. You don't want to miss it here.
FSTA draft coming up soon,
that's
too.
True. Absolutely. Yeah. On the Road Experts in the morning. Yeah. And, of course, on RoboExperts.com.
When I went to the men's room just now, I don't get the dudes that go to the bathroom and have to pull their pants all the way down. Like, son, it's not that serious. No. it's not.
There's a fly.
Why are you observing this?
Well, when you come in the bathroom and you see somebody's behind, it's tough. You feel what I'm saying?
That's when you leave.
You know something? On this show.
An adult male. My son is 3. When he started going to the John, he would disrobe like that. But he was 3, not 33.
All right, two things. Number one, I expect to hear this from 6 to 8, not 8 to 10. Okay. Secondly, on this show, you know, we rez Sussman Thompson because he wants to move along.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm with him and wanting to move along.
I'm just trying to ask him some insight.
On what?
On my day, Scott. I want the people to be connected to me. I want them to know
in
what
the
I
restroom?
Go through. No, but I'm saying that they want to. See, Scott, you understand? People want interaction nowadays.
In the restroom,
but they want to know. They want to be a part of what
they
we
don't
doing.
Need to know everything.
They know. I wanted to share it. Now let's talk about Billy Hamilton. Come on, what do we got?
I don't want to talk about Billy Hamilton.
Let's talk about save leaders.
Well, we'll talk about save leaders in a moment. I want you to look at that. I want that to be a surprise. So,
oh, sorry.
So don't look at that one.
I'm turning it upside down.
I appreciate it.
What
do
we got? Whose turn is it?
Do you want to go first, or would you like to go third?
Let me go. I'll go third.
I'll go first.
Well, yeah, let Matt Modica go first.
All right, Matt Modica. It's time to choose your own adventure. Here we go. Where are we going? We begin either the road is on to Chicago, Clover Lang, or Joe Schmo.
Let's go Joe Schmo.
We like go it. With Joe Schmo. That's a good spot for you to be in because that means we were talking about your boy, the return tonight of Joe Ross. You know, it's funny because you're all about Joe Ross and you stashed him and you're excited for him. Then he stunk and then he went back down in the minors. Then he got back up. It has been such a tug of war here for Joe Ross. He returns tonight for the Nationals. And I have to ask you, how you feeling?
Fingers crossed. Fingers are crossed. He needs to have a good outing tonight. I believe he has the Padres. If he does well tonight, he'll face the Padres on the weekend at home. Joe Ross, probably my worst fab bid ever. I got Ender Inciarte and Joe Ross, like, second week of the season, somebody dropped him. This guy in this really high-stakes league, the highest one I've ever been in, has been dropping these crazy guys. I mean, Joey Bautista was dropped.
Yeah, wow.
You know, I don't understand what the hell's going on.
He's basically me without you guys.
I don't have any money left. I got a couple of shekels left.
Some people do that. I know I had a homeboy that would do that, would drop like players like that in fab leagues to try to get people to bid on these players.
Yeah, but
that's crazy to me.
But that's a crazy angle. I've never heard of
it. It really is. But this was my philosophy when I spent on Joe Ross. I figured there weren't going to be many arms coming available with the guys that were in this league. I know a lot of the players, and this is some serious talent that I'm competing against. So my thought was, if I can get Joe Ross for, say, 25 starts in the National League East on the Washington Nationals, mm-hmm. one of the best teams in baseball, and I could get, say, circa a 350 to 370 ERA for 150-plus innings, I'd be ecstatic. That would be a big boom to my team. So that did not work out. And Chiarte has worked out. That has not worked out, but now I get a second chance. I don't think he deserved to be demoted the last time for the fact that one of those starts was in Coors. The second one was versus the Mets when they scored like 23 runs. I think he should have been given another shot. The last time out, because I've been following his minor leagues, and his first two starts were not good. The last time out, he did pitch well, like seven innings, six strikeouts or something. So this is big. Joe Ross, I think he knows. He has to perform. Like I said, I will be watching this game tonight.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting one to watch, too, because they were talking a lot about the spring training, about the key for him is developing a consistent third pitch. Let's see if that happened when he was in the minor mm-hmm. leagues. And also, this is a good matchup for him tonight, too, I think.
Yeah, well, it's the pitch, but the other key for him is left-handed batters. He gets killed versus lefties.
2.9 home run to nine. That's terrible.
He needs to solve that. I mean, not solve it, but he has to get better. And if he can remain in this rotation, he's either going to remain in this rotation or he's going to be traded for a closer at some point.
Hmm. I could see that happening. It's a good call.
Joe Ross, I believe, of course, Tyson Ross is a little brother. I believe ultimately, like, he's talented. And there's a reason that last year everybody was all about Joe Ross. And he was somebody that I think a lot of experts and a lot of smart fans wanted to get in on. And he struggled. I mean, it was very up and down year. And I think that's what this year has been, too. And it's been trying. And I think when you get into the doghouse of your manager, which I think Joe Ross is with Dusty Baker, it's very hard to get out of that. But I think it says a lot when they said, listen, we're moving Jacob Turner to the bullpen and we're doing this thing now. And this is Joe Ross's opportunity. If in a good matchup, as you pointed out, Scott, tonight, if he just gets blown up, I don't know how many more opportunities there's going to be for him. Leave it there.
Yeah, this is his shining moment right now. He's getting, this is like, you either do it now or we're going to move on from you probably.
Let's get a Jose Barrio start out of it.
Maybe we will. Yeah. All right, Scotty, you are up next, sir. Would you like to choose The Road is On to Chicago, Clover Lang, or Come On, Mr. Flintstone, I'm going to Make Your Bed Rock?
I like that. You know you got a big mouth. You know. I'm going to crucify him. You next. I'm going to go with Clover Lang, fool.
Yeah, that was obvious. All right, Clover Lang has to do with the story of the returning Corey Kluber. Now, Corey Kluber, does that interest you?
No, it's not that. I'm thinking, like, what happened to Corey Kluber, because I'm getting worried now.
Well, Corey Kluber's coming back. That's the good news, right? Corey Kluber officially has begun his rehab assignment, which means the clock is starting, has begun on his return to the majors. Now, Carlos Carrasco, despite the peck, starting tonight. And he started a two-start week. We talked about that a little bit yesterday. Kluber's on the way back. I want to get into Josh Tomlin from last night as well. Corey Kluber, Scotty, when he comes back, is he just going to be the Corey Kluber of old, or should we pause and wait a moment here?
You know what? You drafted Corey Kluber, and you know sometimes there's a rule in your mind, fantasy baseball-wise, when he comes back, let's watch the first start and see how he does. But you know, this is the Indians want to contend here, and this is a franchise guy to them, and they're not going to rush him back to me before he's ready. This is not the Mets medical staff. You know, I think they know what they're doing here, and they're being careful. You know, I think they're giving him enough rehab time here. I'm not worried about Kluber here. It's, you know, to me, it's he's one of the guys you can count on that rotation. You can count on him. You can count on Carrasco. You can't count on Salazar. You can't count on Tomlin. You can't count on Bauer. You know, they need this guy. And, you know, Clevenger's pitched really well. I wonder if Clevenger could eventually bump someone else out of the rotation. But that might be hard. I think Kluber's going to be fine. I think Corey Kluber is going to be Corey Kluber. I think, you know, the track record is just there too much for me.
You say it might be hard, and one person we threw out yesterday was Josh Tomlin. He pitched for the Indians last night, and Tomlin went 6 1/3, allowed 9 hits, 5 runs, 4 of which were earned. He struck out 4, but the good news for him is he did not walk anybody. Matt, is that enough to ultimately knock him out of the rotation and leave Mike Clevenger in?
I mean, Francona is kind of the guy that goes with the veterans. Last night, to me, was a very important night for Tomlin. Like you said, the walks. He's a guy that, you know, has that pinpoint control. He's allowed more homers than walks. The home run ball is his bugaboo. It's going to be interesting, because Clevenger's going to get one more start at least in this process. The weird thing is Trevor Bauer has like a 27.5 strikeout percentage. His ERA is like 660. His xFIP is like 342. He does have a very low left on base and a high BABIP. I mean, he's just a maddening guy. He's one of those guys that we're always waiting for him to...
the other shooter drop.
You know, but he always winds up disappointing. He'll have a couple of good starts. So, I mean, I don't know what they're going to do, to be honest with you. If you did get Clevenger, if this might work out for you if he does get put into this rotation. I don't know... I think everybody this week is on watch. So
everybody in Cleveland is on watch, from Tomlin to Bauer, of course, to Clevenger. Those are the guys you're looking at, and certainly Carlos Carrasco tonight with his injury. Will Corey Kluber have a setback? Yeah. I mean, these are the things we are all watching in Cleveland, especially by Clevenger owners.
More about Carrasco. What do you think of, I had to ask you this, the DeGrom-Clevenger comparisons?
I mean, I need to see more from Clevenger. I mean... It was very impressive. I got to watch some of that game against Houston. Very impressive. I do need to see more from him. I mean, as excited as we're getting, you know, like we got to pump the brakes a little too. He needs to build on what he's been doing too.
Of course.
So, but yeah, I mean, is it outrageous? No, but we got to wait and see.
Just because they both have long hair.
Well, that was the Robert Gzelman comparison. They both have long hair, so all of a sudden now he's
James Gzelman. That's another guy I went back in the well this weekend.
When he pitches tomorrow, so we'll see.
You've been very patient on him.
For the Reds, Scotty Feldman, 6 innings, 4 hits, 1 run, 9 strikeouts. The E right now under 4 for Scott Feldman, just like everybody predicted. Jason Kipnis hit his 4th home run of the year last night. Kipnis now batting .226. And your boy Scott Schebler, 13 home runs on the season.
Wow.
Incredible.
You know what the interesting stat is? He had 12 career home runs coming into this year.
Now he's got 13.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Interesting stat for me is Joey Votto, who we're all like, oh, my God, this guy hits home runs and can't hit for average anymore. .293 with the OVP at 4th above. Joey Votto's just fine, people. We'll come back with Bud Norris, his Roto Experts at the Park, here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. In the morning, which means it is time to get back into Roto Experts at the Park. Which means I'm going to choose the next adventure. And it's calling Mr. Flintstone, I'm going to let your bed rock, because it has to do with Cam Bedrosian's impending return through a bullpen session the other day, which means he's getting close. And Scott, you had an opportunity to talk to the Angels' current closer, perhaps intern closer, Bud Norris, recently.
Yeah, I'm not getting the picture. It's interim at all. You know, he had his ninth save last night, four out save. Mike Socia says this is a guy that gives us an opportunity to go with 35 pitches, which he did, and lock something up. You know, I spoke to Maria Guardado, MLB.com beat writer for
Eddie's
the Angels, which is also going to be on demand today. And she said it could get interesting when Bedrosian comes back, but the feeling really is that Norris is doing so good that why mess with it? And here I spoke to Bud about what was like transitioning from starter to being a closer.
I can't say I foreseeably saw it, but I knew that post that towards the end of my career, I thought it was an opportunity that something I could really, you know, take the ball and run with it. I knew when I got drafted, they kind of labeled me as a back end kind of guy with power stuff and always said closer stuff. But I wanted to prove to a lot of people and to myself that I could start. And I'm lucky that I've done it as long as I did, but I'm really embracing the new role down there and I'm enjoying it. And I just want to be the best version I can be of myself and helping my team out.
Now you look at his pitch selection. He really started incorporating a cutter, and you'll hear more of that. The interview with him on demand will be up later today. 38.6% he's using the cutter now, as opposed to 11.6% last year, and that's really led to like a K per nine of over 11. Honestly, I can't see how the Angels move away from him. I think Bedrosian can be a nice eighth inning setup guy for him.
Yeah, and remember, coming into this season, Cam Bedrosian said that Mike Socia basically told him, listen, you're not the closer. We're going to have a competition. We don't know who the closer is. But Norris has run away with his job, as Scott just mentioned. He's got nine saves now on the year, a 2.66 ERA. He can pitch, obviously, multiple innings. He's been a starter his entire career. Bud Norris has earned this opportunity. To me, when Bedrosian does come back, whether it's this weekend, whether it's next week, I do not think he will regain that role.
Yeah, the two things that stick out to me is the swinging strike percentage, you know, obviously the move to the bullpen, but also the chase rate is up significantly. So
Bud Norris is simply pitching better.
He's doing a good job. He's getting it done right now. I like Bud Norris.
Last night for the Angels, as we said, Norris got his ninth save. It was J.C. Ramirez, 6 2/3, six hits, two runs, five strikeouts. Cameron Maven is his second home run of the year. He has also stolen his 10th base of the year. He's hitting the top of this lineup for the most part. Cameron Maven's a guy that I don't think we've talked about enough. I know we mentioned him in, you know, kind of a passerby format, but Cameron Maven is somebody we need to talk about, guys.
Yeah, Cameron Maven, the Angels have won six of their last eight. He's hitting .486 over that span. This is a guy that hit .315 last year and had the best batting average of his career last year. And he's feeling very comfortable since they moved him back to the top of the order. You're really starting to see renewed results. He went 9-for-9 in his first nine steal attempts this year.
Health, always the biggest concern, Modico, when it comes to Cameron Maven. He's healthy. As Scott just mentioned, he's comfortable on top of the lineup. 10 steals, a couple of home runs, hitting in front of Mike Trout. It's a good place to be.
It's a very good place to be. He was batting like .180 not too long ago, so his .244 average, you know, you have to take that, you know, see what, like Scott said, he's batting like .400 over the past week or so.
His bad BIP is .295, so, you know, it's coming.
Yeah, no, yeah,
that's a good point, because with a speed guy, the bad BIP should be higher.
Talking up Ben Revere and saying that he would get the thing and, you know, 30 stolen bases. But, I mean, Cameron Maven is the guy they traded for, the guy they want to succeed, and he's getting every opportunity.
When we return, I want to look at this game from the other side of things, because Jake Odorizzi pitched really, really well, and then Corey Dickerson homer, like he does every night. 12 for him. Morrison has 12 as well. We'll finish that off. Break it down. Roto Experts in the Morning, hour number two, coming your way next.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
Hour number two of the Roto Experts in the Morning. He is live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and we're simulcasting here on the Fantasy Sports Network. Corey Parson, the Fantasy Executive, the King, Scott Engel, CTA Baseball's Matt Modica, all here, of course. One more hour to go. Old School Fantasy comes your way next. And we were just talking about the Rays and the Angels just a moment ago. Jake Odorizzi, six innings, five hits, two runs, walked three. He struck out eight. The big blast for him was Cameron Maybin's home run in the fifth inning, but he played really, he pitched really, really well. Odorizzi's ERA now sits at 3.14. He's a seemingly a quality start machine at this point. Jake Odorizzi, guys, have a nice year.
Yeah, he is, and this was a guy when you're looking for like a fourth starter in fantasy, you know, was
on your fantasy rotation,
you,
sure.
Yeah, on your staff, you know, it's you know, a guy who like fit really nicely there. And then you look at the you look at the hitters there. It's you know, Dickerson coming into this game in the last 11, he was hitting .450 with five home runs and 10 RBIs. And then Logan Morrison, it's just a matter of staying healthy for Lomo there, because injuries have always been a bugaboo for him, but it's just a matter of staying healthy, and the power is really there. It's been impressive.
Corey Dickerson did homer on his birthday yesterday.
Yeah, that's nice.
He did. Oh yeah, somebody
else shares birthday with you.
Somebody else's birthday was yesterday too, Matt. I can't remember who.
Was it Matt's?
No, it was somebody else. I was like, oh, they got the same birthday as Modica.
But getting back to Jake Odorizzi real quick, I think he's a good pitcher. He has a use. To me, he's not a top three pitcher for fantasy. I look at him as like a 375 to that four range kind of guy. If we look at everything, the left on base percentage is like 85%. The BABIP's at like 200. I'm not saying this is a bad pitcher, but I think he's going to pitch more towards like the XFIP that he owns. So I'm not saying, you know, get rid of Odorizzi. I'm just pointing out that he is a good pitcher. He will go on very good runs too, but in the end, I think he finishes.
I think he gets overshadowed a lot. He's a quality guy.
I agree. I don't think anybody's disagreeing. I just think, as Matt points out, with the XFIP being where it is, with the FIP being where it is, things are probably going to regress the mean a little bit.
I mean, if you look at his career, he's had that one season where he was pretty much below 370.
Right.
So I think that's who he is. I'm not saying he can't overachieve, but I'm just putting realistic expectations.
He's pitching in the American League, though, still. So, yeah.
It's true. The 12th home run was Dickerson's only hit. The 12th home run was Morrison's only hit yesterday, of course, against J.C. Ramirez. I meant to ask you guys about this when we hit the Indians. This is in my notes. I forgot to ask. Are we nervous about Carlos Santana yet?
I think we should be.
Yeah?
Yeah, because he got to get it going right now, because he's thinking to join up. What's up with that?
He was playing right field last night. It was for the fourth time in his career.
Fourth time this season.
Just the fourth time this season, and he like banged into the wall really bad last night.
Yeah, Santana only banged .216. The OBP, which we expect to be much higher, only .323. Only has four home runs.
That's Carlos low Santana, for him.
He's not doing much of anything. Are we nervous about Modica? Are you nervous?
I'm a little nervous, but there's still a ton of season.
All right, when we come back, Corey Parson chooses his adventure.
Yes.
Next on the Roto Experts. We'll see if Corey has a little faith when he makes his decision. It's Choose Your Own Adventure Day, number two. Corey, this is your first opportunity to choose an adventure.
I'm looking forward to it. What we got? My adventure.
Your adventure choice is The Road is on to Chicago, WNBC, and Garden Gnome.
Say those again.
The Road is on to Chicago.
Okay.
Okay. WNBC and Garden Gnome.
Give me Garden Gnome.
All right. Garden Gnome was a man they were talking about during the break, of course, and that is Brett Gardner, who Matt Modica, you referenced someone saying on Twitter, he's basically Eric Thames, given what he has done in May. What, nine home runs now in May? Eight or nine home runs here?
In May, he's hitting .346 with seven home runs,
Okay.
20 RBIs in 19 games.
He has been scorching hot. And Gardner is somebody that, admittedly, I wanted nothing to do with. I told you, I'm not drafting Gardner, I'm not drafting Ellsbury, I'm not doing any of this crap. And now Gardner has his average at .281, his OBP at .373, nine homers now on the year. He stopped running, but You'll take this, obviously, given what he is doing. Gardner led the Yankees to a 4-2 victory over Kansas City here last night. Yankees keep on rolling. Court?
No, I know. Brett Gardner's absolutely getting it done so far this season. 33 years old, veteran, on the downside of his career. But he's
not really.
He's not playing like it right now, though. Like you said, the running has stopped from earlier in the season, but now we see him starting to hit the ball for power, hitting the ball out the ballpark, still striking out a little bit too much, and his bad BIP is at 314, which is about where it should be. But nah, his good plate discipline outside of the K's, he is having a phenomenal season in the Bronx, trying to hit the ball out.
And we talk about pitchers remaking themselves later in his career. That's been the impressive thing about Gardner. And talking to somebody who regularly, you know, is, you know, very close to the Yankees and watches them a lot, I said, well, what's the difference with Gardner? He said, well, you know, the guy is like altered his swing this year. He said, you know, he's using his lower half a lot more, and what he's doing is, you know, because he's trying to get the bat through the zone at a different speed, whereas in the past he used to try to slap it the other way. He's totally changed his approach, and it's working.
Trying to use that short porch in right field.
Exactly. By the way, that was back-to-back games he homered in, too, yeah.
And he had, what, 5 stolen bases in the first week?
It has done since, I feel like. But the Yankees were led last night, not only by Brett Gardner at the plate, of course. Chris Carter also hit a home run. Didi Gregorius, as you talked about before. I don't know if that was on the air or off the air. But he hit a second home run of the season. But they were led by Michael Pineda, who's now 5-2 on the year. Pineda's got the 3.35 ERA, 6 1/3, 6 hits, 2 runs. He struck out 6. And I read on Twitter today, Corey, that right now Michael Pineda is the Yankees' most consistent starter.
Yeah, we don't know what's going on with Tanaka right now, but Pineda's getting it done so far for the time being, and Yanks playing well. Pineda also a very big part of that. And last night he takes care of business. You get an offensively weak team in there. He comes in there, dominates, shuts the door, get him out of there in 2 hours and 42 minutes. Not bad.
Yeah, he got off to a little bit like the third inning. He gave up 2 runs, and then he settled back in. Pineda in 8 consecutive starts
Pineda.
Now.
It's Michael Pineda.
Pineda now in 8 consecutive starts. Now has allowed 3 earned runs or less. That is the best streak of his during a season of at any time during his career.
Yeah, he's been very consistent when the Yankees have needed him. And and despite, Matt, losing Aroldis Chapman, his bullpen hasn't really lost a step either, right? You have Warren come in the 7th, Clifford in the 8th, and Betances had a leadoff hit against him, bared down, and got the save. The Yankees have now led 23 games going into the 9th inning, and they have converted all 23 of them.
I keep saying, I really like this Yankee team. Pineda has pitched.
I'm glad to hear that.
It's very well this season. I think it's going to come now the point I want to see, as it gets warm now, how does he hold up at the home runs? That's
important.
That's
right.
A good call.
Well,
and you talked about the bullpen, right? Even though Randy Levine says Betances is not a closer, and they haven't missed a beat. This team is 22-0 when they're leading after 7 innings.
And you see how they treated him in the offseason, too?
Yeah.
Betances?
Yeah.
I can't.
It'll cost them more money in the long run.
Yeah, no, it's going to cost them, and I hope he get them too.
Interestingly enough, you talked about the home runs of Michael Pineda. His home run to fly ball ratio right now is actually as high as it's ever been. It's at 23.4%. So you actually think that's going to come down a little bit.
I do, but once, like I say, getting the weather we saw last week here in New York, it was like 93.
It's beautiful.
And it was pretty damn hot. But we really haven't had that kind of weather so far in the East Coast or the Midwest. And hitters do a hell of a lot better in warm weather. And that park, it's like Ivanova's park, Yankee Stadium.
Sure.
And going to the Berg and PNC was really a big asset for him.
I know you're an XFIP guy. The XFIP for Michael Pineda has always predicted very, very big things, right? His first year back with the Yankees in 2015, 2.95 XFIP, despite the 4.37 ERA. Last year, 3.30 XFIP, despite the 4.82 ERA. This year, his ERA is at 3.35. The XFIP sits at 287.
Well, why are you such an XFIP guy, you know, just for the audience?
Well, like, I think
as compared to just regular FIP.
I think it combines, you know,
I'm serious.
I mean, home runs are part of the game, right?
Right.
So I want home runs implemented in the formula and stuff. And I think when you put the average of, say, 10.5%, which is going up, and I think this summer we're really going to see a barrage of home runs. I mean, everybody is going to be...
We've seen it before the weather turned.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. I mean, we've seen it now, and I think it's going to get to the point after the season where we're going to have to look back and say, you know what, we got to do something. Because, I mean, I don't like when everybody's hitting home runs. You know, there's certain home run hitters. I think when you hit like 35 home runs or more, that should be a select group. I know people say, oh, we got to see offense. That game this past weekend with Samardzija and C-Mart.
Awesome.
Was huge.
Awesome. It was a fantastic pitching matchup last night, which we'll get to as well. Hey, Matt, let's choose your adventure next, sir. Are you ready?
Yes,
sir. Here we go. Would you like to choose The Road is On to Chicago, WNBC, or The End is Near?
I gotta go to WNBC in order to pick vomit.
WNBC has to do with, well, the NBC logo, of course, which is what?
You violated the
sanctity. The peacock.
Sanctity of my home, Stern.
Exactly. WNBC, the logo is the peacock, which means we're talking about Brad Peacock and his start last night. Peacock and the Astros beat the Tigers last night by a score of 1-0. And this was as good of a pitching performance you will see combined by a team ever, right? 4 1/3 for Brad Peacock. One hit, two walks, struck out 8 in a spot start. The bullpen, which has been really good all year, was perfect. Through 4 2/3 innings here, 2 2/3, perfect from Davinsky. Will Harris comes in perfect. Ken Giles perfect for the save. It was just a stellar performance by the Houston pitching staff. And Brad Peacock, of course, started it out. The ERA for Brad Peacock, who hasn't started, as Scott mentioned yesterday, since 2014, 0.87 on the season, of course, out of the bullpen. Now, given Joe Musgrove's struggles, given that Michael Fiers is not exactly very good, Brad Peacock could see another start, but this bullpen has just been such a weapon for Houston this year.
Well, the thing we're talking about with Peacock is out of the bullpen. He has done extremely well out of the bullpen. Yesterday, he pitched, what, 4 2/3?
4 1/3, yeah.
4 1/3. So, I mean, He's not a guy that you want to the opposing team, in my opinion, to see that third time around. He's excelling here. I don't want the Astros to fool themselves. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think him in the bullpen, where you could put him in to pitch like 2 innings, or if you need a long relief guy, you can insert him there. They need to still go out and get that proven starter. I think that's the issue here. Fiers and Musgrove, right now they're not in prime time. The Astros, I mean, what are they, 30-15 or something?
Yeah, Astros currently at 30-15.
First team to 30 wins. Yes,
yeah, I mean, yeah. This is, and they are loaded in the minor league system.
Yeah, and with Peacock, he became the first starting pitcher this year to go below 5 innings and allow no runs and strike out 8. And also, you if you watch his performance, his command was just impeccable. And the one thing is, though, you can watch him, and you can just tell if you've experienced baseball watcher that, you know, he's a reliever, and he's very deliberate sort of delivery out of the stretch, and I want to see what happens if they try to stretch him out.
At least for one night, it worked out pretty damn well. Michael Fulmer on the other side, 7 innings, 8 hits. 1 run, 1 walk, 4 strikeouts. Just got 0 help from his team. He pitched really, really well. And Fulmer got a 2.55 ERA. He's had a nice year. Now drops to 5-2 after the loss.
I've been wrong on Fulmer this season. I've been expecting. I thought he was a sell high guy. I'm gonna have to relook at him, but I didn't think he was as good as that first month last season. But he is showing that he's a hell of a pitcher right now.
Nine straight quality starts to open the year.
Fantastic start for Michael Fulmer. Mikey Maddock, the only player on the Tigers to get a hit last night. When we come back, Scott Engel returns to choose his adventure. One adventure each left for Scott and Corey. Roto Experts continues right after this.
How you doing, Scotty?
Yep. Little Huey Lewis.
Is this from the video?
Nope.
All right.
It's from the concert.
Okay. I thought maybe you watched the video and saw him doing it like that.
Yeah.
Oh.
We're back here. It's Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And it's up for Scott Engel to choose his next adventure. two more adventures to go today on the program, one for Scott and one for Corey, and then we'll wrap this puppy up. All right, Scotty, would you like to choose? The road is on to Chicago. The end is near. Or Block It Out.
What was that last one?
Block It Out.
I'll go The End Is Near.
The End Is Near has to do, of course, with Ender Inciarte, because last night Ender Inciarte went 5-for-5 on the evening against Pittsburgh in Atlanta's 5-2 victory over the Buccos. Only scored a run, had an RBI. It was a nice night for Ender Inciarte. Matt, of course, your boy. For Atlanta last night, Mike Foltynewicz, 5 innings, 8 hits, 2 runs, only 1 were earned, 2 walks, 5 strikeouts. He had those 8 hits. He worked around until the pitch count went up to 103, but he picks up his 3rd win of the year, and now the ERA drops to 3.86 for Mike Foltynewicz, and Pittsburgh continues to fall. The bullpen very good for Atlanta as your guy, Scotty Jimmy Johnson, picks up his 9th save of the season. Atlanta, a team that you believe is better than they, you know, better than their record indicates, now 19-23.
Yeah, and Matt Adams homered yesterday.
First time.
Madams
for the first time with the Braves. Yeah. Homer's here, 2nd homer of the year.
And Inciarte, you know, we saw that little power surge for a little while. He's got 5 home runs. He's got 9 steals. He could get you about 25, hitting .279. What about a .311 BABIP? So pretty much what you're going to see. That was the first Brave in 3 years to have a 5-hit game. The last one was Jason Hayward. Brandon Phillips last night hit his 200th career home run. He became just the 6th second baseman in Major League history to have 200 home runs and 200 steals. He joins a group that includes Roberto Alomar, Joe Morgan, Ian Kinsler. So it's pretty much a select group there. As for Foltynewicz, he is in his last 3 starts, he has allowed only 5 runs. They have won his last 3 starts, and Jim Johnson quietly a very effective closer you didn't pay much for. But when it's Inciarte, you know, I want to see a little bit more speed than I've gotten so far. You know, nothing to cry about or anything like that. You may get a few more homers there. Maybe you'll finish with about a dozen homers and 30 steals, I'm thinking, and hit like .275.
On the other side of things, Corey, Garrett Cole goes 4 2/3, 10 hits, 5 runs, a walk, a couple of strikeouts. Not a great start from the Pirates ace.
No, not a great start from Mr. Cole. Looks like he didn't get it done last night in Atlanta, giving up those 2 long balls, only striking out 2. So only getting to 4 2/3. So Gary Cole, not one of his better performances on the season in Georgia last night.
No, Georgia. It was not for the Pirates, though. Really not much, coach. Not much going on. I want to talk about David Freese yesterday, so I'll ask you about it now. David Freese has the OBP at .361. The average sits at .256. I know he didn't get a hit last night. Is David Freese somebody that will consistently get us done for us, Matt?
No, I mean, David Freese is a guy versus left-handers.
Okay.
That's pretty much the only way. I mean, he's more of like a DFS play if you wanted a cheap option, I would guess. Not a guy that I really like to roster.
Okay. And Jordy Mercer left this game with an injury for you NL-only leaguers.
Yeah, that. Yes, he did. Yeah. Corey Parsons,
yo,
you're up next.
Let's go.
The road is on to Chicago. Yo, since the beginning. First one of the day. No one's chosen it. Block It Out. Or The Jew Crew.
The who?
The Jew Crew.
That's not nice. The road is on to Chicago.
He picks the first one. The road on in Chicago. That is the impending potential return of Carlos Rodon to the Chicago White Sox. Now, Rodon is somebody that was brought along very, very slowly this spring. And very, very slowly. They didn't want to. They weren't concerned about an injury. It was he wanted to control his innings. And then he was brought along so slowly, he got injured again. He's finally making some real progress, where there's now a light at the end of the tunnel. Corey, your question is, in regards to Carlos Rodon, how important is it that we own him right now?
I don't think it's of... Well, pitchers getting hurt left and right, so a guy like this coming in can give you some life to your fantasy staff. You know, don't want to get Scott upset. But Rodon is the guy that they're taking their time with him, but now we're starting to see him... So now we're starting to see him get it rolling, so I don't think it's of dire importance, but I do think if he's out there that you should go get him.
I think we got to remember what Rendon is. This is a guy that's still very young and pretty green. He's only 24 years old. This guy has 23 major league starts and only 9 minor league starts. This guy's hardly spent any time at the minor league level. So he's even when he comes back, he's still a work in progress for all the electric stuff that he has.
Well, I think he's got more. I think he misread that stat, Scott. He has started 50 games, but he is still green. I will give you that. I think he does have more potential going forward. But right now, an injured Carlos Rendon, that's going to be monitored very carefully. Look, if you have a DL spot and you want to, and you're in a deep league and you want to stash him there, that's fine. But I do like this kid. At some point, if he's healthy and can get the a full season, if he can pitch 200 innings, I would really like to see that one day.
Yeah, thank you, Matt. It was 9 minor league starts and 51 major league starts. So you got to remember that this guy really pretty much jumped right to the big show.
Would you rather own Carlos Rendon or Tyson Ross right now, Matt?
Carlos Rendon.
You would rather own Carlos Rendon. Everyone's out on Tyson Ross. I want to prove you wrong, man.
It's
ridiculous. I take offense to that. Because you're Mr. You're Mr. Joe Ross. Tyson's his older brother. Show some love.
I think Tyson Ross was a good pitcher in San Diego. I do like him. I got to see something from him, though. It's been a while. He's going to be pitching in Texas.
Both these guys had control problems, too.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty much...
It's like a draw.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not that I would, overwhelmingly recommend one over the other.
But Tyson Ross may be in a position to get more run support.
I'll be back a little bit sooner, too.
Yeah.
Last night for Carlos Rendon's White Sox, they fell to Zach Greinke 5-1. Greinke was an out away from the complete game. He goes 8 2/3, 4 hits, a run, a walk, 12 strikeouts. Archie Bradley comes out, throws one pitch, and finishes his game off. Greinke's now 6-2. The ERA at 2.82. Maybe it's not the Greinke that we saw in LA, but he's
rolling.
I got some stats here. Now listen to this, okay?
Sure.
This was his third double figure strikeout game this year, right? In 2014 and 2015, he only had 3 combined.
Yeah.
He's had 58 strikeouts in his last 6 starts. That's the best 6 start stretch of his entire career. And strikeout wise, for the Diamondbacks, nobody has had a better start in team history since Randy Johnson in 2004. That's how good Greinke has been this year.
Or they've never had a pitcher like Randy Johnson in the last 12 years, which makes more sense.
Well, what about that other stat, though? The best 6-game strikeout stretch of his entire career.
Sure, that's great.
We talk about how difficult it is to pitch in Arizona, pitching in the desert. It's hitter-friendly and all that. He's got a 34% strikeout rate.
It's crazy. Yeah.
That's insane. His FIP is 316. This is all at home. His xFIP is 269. So he is dominating at home. There was a stat I saw last season. He had 7 home starts. He struck out. He had 13 home starts. Struck out 55 batters. In 7 home starts this season, he struck out 60.
Yeah, last year was 5-5 with an ERA over 580 at home.
I mean, look, you're looking at the advanced metrics. He's just dominating in a park that people said he couldn't succeed in.
You talk about pitchers. You talk about Brett Gardner before, right? Like changing his approach at the plate. And I think there's a chance that Zach Greinke just changed his approach here, right? Like he realized in the desert what worked in LA doesn't necessarily work in Arizona.
Yeah, he had to get it together.
And he's working on he worked to figure out, listen, I need to strike more guys out. That's how I'm going to be successful here in Arizona. And I think he's done that.
After his first start of the season where he got bombed by his former team, the Dodgers, he went back and talked to the coaching staff, and they said that, that he just wasn't getting enough velocity on the slider. So he tweaked something to get more velocity on the slider.
And let's not forget, we talk about spring training stories all the time, Corey, right? Zach Greinke's velocity was way down in the spring. We're all sat here very concerned. I mean, I was extremely concerned about Zach Greinke. I didn't draft him anywhere because I thought he sucked last year. The velocity was down this year. I did not want to get involved. I'd be dead wrong.
Yeah, but the velocity wasn't really a thing. I mean, he proved it wasn't really a thing. He came in, Scott said, he learned how to pitch in Arizona. He's finally figuring out what's working. I got him on my Tout Wars team, so crafty veteran pitcher Zach Greinke getting the job done.
Well, that's this term, earmuffs. And I really didn't watch much spring training this season. I wound up watching the WBC, which was very entertaining. But I do rankings in February and then in March, middle of each month. I had Greinke at 20th and Keuchel at 21.
Okay.
But I couldn't stop hearing about this decreased velocity, sure. Even though, you know, I kept saying he's a cerebral guy. I bumped him down like 10 spots. Keuchel, they pushed back with the shoulder.
Yep.
And, you know, you get concerned about that. You know, sometimes you just got to trust the process and take the noise out.
100%. Paul Goldschmidt hit his 11th homer of the year yesterday for Arizona. For the White Sox, the only run off of Zach Greinke was Lourdes Garcia's 5th home run of the year. 289, 341. Everyone talks about Abascal Garcia. But Lourdes at 289, like I said, with 341 OBP and 5 home runs. Scott, is he somebody we should be talking about more?
I have Lourdes Garcia in 2 leagues. This guy has been a nice find. He's been making the most of the playing time, and he's continued to hit even after that period where you figure they might find a hole in his game. There's been a little pop. There's been a little speed.
Yeah.
You know, these Garcias are making it happen. You got Abascal. You got Lourier. And then you got Willie Garcia hit his first home run the other day.
There you go. So, Lourier, yeah. So there you go. Leury Garcia, definitely somebody to keep on your radars, folks. We come back. We're not choosing our own adventures anymore. We're going to go around and see how good the guys are at naming the best closers in baseball. Stick around. Radio Experts in the Morning continues right after this. We are done choosing our adventures for today. Hope everyone enjoyed themselves. Corey, did you have a nice adventure?
Yeah, I had a good... I would talk about Rodon.
Carlos Rodon, yes.
Yeah.
But now, we're going to talk about some of the save leaders in baseball. We talk every day as we are astounded by what Greg Holland has done this year. Free agent signing, right? He's got 19 saves, the whip under 1 and ERA under 1. He's been unbelievable. But we knew that, right? 19 saves. The next closest to Greg Holland has 12. In front of me right now, I have the top 10 in saves this year. I keep talking about all these guys that have 9. I'm going to leave off. It has to be 10 or 10. So Wade Davis is number 10 on this list. He has 9 saves. And a bunch of guys have 9. We talked about Bud Norris a moment ago, who was 9. There are 9 players, including Greg Holland, who have 10 or more saves. Can you name them? We know Holland is 19. I'm looking for number 2 through number 9. Modico is around the room.
Cody Allen.
With you. Cody Allen, number 2, with 12 saves. The ERA at 1.23. The whip at 1.25. Scott, the King Angle.
Ken Giles.
Kenny Giles, number 3, also with 12 saves. ERA much higher, 3.44, as you know, Modica. 1.04 whip. Mr. Parson.
Kimbrel.
Craig Kimbrel, number 4, with 12 saves. You guys are dominating right now, just going right in order, 12 saves. ERA at 0.92, actually a better ERA, folks, than Greg Holland, with a whip at 0.41, a better whip than Greg Holland. Craig Kimbrel has been, outside of Holland, with his 19 saves, the best closer in baseball. A little renaissance year for Craig Kimbrel here. Modica.
How about Brandon Kinsler?
Number 6, with 11 saves, a 1.80 ERA, 1.15 whip, had a nice little season.
Oh, from the Cardinals.
Sungwang Oh, I was shocked to see him on this list because Oh was struggling so much so early. 10 saves, 3.32 ERA with a whip of 1.48. Really, really good. Really, really good to see what Oh has rebounded from where he started. Corey.
Tony Watson.
Tony Watson, number 9 with 10 saves. The anti- from Matt Modica, 2.75 ERA.
I was going to say Tony Watson.
1.47 whip. Watson and for most of the Pirates bullpen's actually got it done. It's been the hitting that hasn't been able to perform well. But Tony Watson performing nicely at the end of the Pirates bullpen. There are just 2 more guys on this list with double-digit saves. One has 11, one has 10. Can we do it without getting it out? Modica.
Kenley Jansen?
No. Kenley Jansen does not have double-digit saves.
Oh, Kayla dropped something.
Oh. you say, oh, Matt dropped the ball.
Alex Colomé.
Alex Colomé is correct.
That's a good one, Scott.
11 saves, Scotty. 2.25 ERA, 0.9 a whip. Of course, anyone we're naming could soon be a member of the Washington Nationals. Just making that clear. One more name on the list. Can you do it, Corey?
Jim Johnson.
He's not Jim Johnson.
No!
9 saves.
Not a bad one.
A moment ago.
It was a good guess.
Just missed by one.
Just missed
save.
By one. They're 9. Matty Mo.
I'm trying to think who the hell is healthy.
Yeah.
Pretty much
10 saves for this person.
10 saves. It's not Wade Davis. We got that out of the thing.
9 saves for Wade Davis.
Jeez, I thought Jim Johnson.
You can see it. If you're watching on the Fantasy Sports Network right now, it is on the air, on the TV.
A.J. Ramos?
He's not A.J. Ramos. Number 8 is the one they have not gotten yet. Hmm. King, you're the only person that hasn't got one wrong in this game. Can you be perfect?
No.
shut up. Let's see.
You sound so soft. Talk like a man,
can you,
Scott.
Can you shut up?
Can I think? I want you to talk like...
Can I think?
Like, hold on, I'm thinking. I want some bass in your voice. You're like, oh, let me see. I'm
a damn skeleton.
No, shut up, all right? Roberto Osuna.
He's not
Roberto Osuna. That was a good one.
All
okay.
right, Corey, yeah. Because you're my buddy, I'm going to give you the hint here.
Oh, all right, bet.
He's got 10 saves.
I figured that.
The ERA...
Oh, okay.
...is 8.
Oh, 10 saves.
Matt,
I know
who
it is now.
Matt knows it. Scott knows it. There's a fantasy
come on,
executive.
Corey,
man.
Come on.
I think I know this one.
Come on, Corey.
The
come
whip.
On, Corey.
Oh,
let's go, Corey.
It's my son out west, Fernando Rodney.
There you go.
Yeah.
Nice job, Corey.
Thank you.
Fernando Rodney, despite how awful he's been with an ERA, 1.6 whip, Fernando Rodney has 10 saves on the season. Yes, point the arrow.
Bow and arrow. Put your hat to the side, too.
All right.
Don't tell me how to wear my hat.
Why don't you wear a hat of a
don't
team you really
me,
root
don't
for?
Don't tell me how to wear
that's
my
a
hat.
Fake hat.
Don't tell me
golden
how to wear my
fake
hat.
Hat.
What about your bald ass
fake
hat? Don't tell
that's
me how to
right.
wear my hat.
At least it's real, unlike that.
Sorry. He asked for it.
He asked for it. May, we are 23 days into May here.
Oh, boy.
In front of me, I have the 5 players that have scored the most runs in May. Can you do as well with that as you do with the saves leaders?
It's going to be hard.
Matt Modica.
Brett Gardner.
Brett Gardner, number 3. He's got 20. He's got 20 runs. The leader has 22 runs. The person that is in 5th place is 18. So you're looking for people that have 18 or more runs. Brett Gardner's number 3. 20 runs, as Scotty mentions, 356 average in May with 7 home runs.
Mike Trout.
Mike Trout is not correct.
Mike Trout's a good one, Scott. That would have been my guess. Is my turn?
Yeah.
Runs. Billy Hamilton.
Billy Hamilton's number 1.
Yeah.
Billy Hamilton.
Ding, 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 ding. Family Feud.
My guy, Billy Hamilton. 22 runs scored with a 318 average.
It's the best May of his
bases.
Career.
Probably best month of his career.
Yeah, best month of his
Sag
career.
Sag on your face, Scott.
There you go.
He's still not top 90 runs scored, though.
He's top 90 in runs.
He's
scored.
Not top in the top 90 in runs scored. That's what Tony said the other day.
This year, really? Yeah. And he's leading the league in runs in May. That sounds.
That's not. That
that's
is.
Your rank in runs. I forgot what stat.
That
Tony
stat
gets
seems unlikely.
Yeah, it can't. That's almost impossible.
I'm going to look that up now. Matt Modica.
What is he rank in runs?
I'm going to look.
I get it for you, Greg. You do.
Charlie Blackman on that list.
Charlie Blackman is on that list. He's number 5. He's got 18 runs. His average is 363 in the month of May. He's just stolen 3 bases. Blackman's a guy that I always want. No. I can never wind up getting. Big fan of Charlie.
I got
Blackman.
Him. I got him in Tout Wars.
Well, that's right. It's fun. You're a boss. Billy Hamilton, by the way, is 5, 6. He's 8th overall in runs.
Okay. Maybe it was something else he was talking about. I forget.
8th overall
forget
in runs scored.
Forget that.
So there you go. That couldn't have been correct. All right. You got 2 more to go. Inside the top 5 in May for runs. One of them is 21 runs scored. The other one is 19 runs scored. Scott, the King angle.
Justin Smoke.
Justin Smoke is incorrect.
Ooh, that's a good one. Somebody has been balling. It has to be somebody that's been balling in May. Who's been balling in May?
You tell me.
May. April, May, June.
What the hell are you doing? Just answer the question.
What are you talking about, Scott? I'm trying to. This is how I go through the process
April,
of thinking.
April, May, June.
Aaron Judge.
No, sir.
Oh!
Damn. Not Aaron Judge. Matt Modica's been perfect here. Can he?
Mookie Betts?
Is not.
Oh, that was
in
good
fact,
that was
Mookie
good
Betts. We'll go around one more time and give you the answer. Scott?
Justin Bour.
No, sir. Not Justin Bour.
Good.
We're looking at outfielders here, Corey.
Oh, he's an outfielder. with a Bryce Harper.
No, it is not Bryce Harper. It's my favorite you're missing player. Number two. You're missing number four. I'm disappointed.
Michael Conforto?
In that side of the room, because Michael Conforto has the second most runs in all of baseball in the month of May. 21 runs scored, 319 average, 5 home runs. Good job with Conforto.
He's doing good.
The man who has 19 runs scored with 7 homers and a 297 average, who's number four, that is Cody Bellinger.
Oh, your boy.
Cody Bellinger, soon to be Rookie of the Month, Cody Bellinger.
One of the best. I love when they use belly bombs for his home runs.
Belly bombs! Imagine John Sterling, Corey, calling belly bombs?
Yeah, that'd be crazy.
That'd be crazy. What do you think, Corey, of the judges section? Inside
I think
now.
It looks good.
All
I
right.
think that's
good.
One of the coolest things because they actually make it look like a courthouse
yeah.
out there.
That's pretty
it's
cool.
It's like a jury box. It's very cool.
Mm-hmm. It's awesome.
And then the stadium is right down the street from right down the block from the Bronx Courthouse. So that's a good touch.
And they're all wearing the judge robes, the yeah. logo. All right. And like they say, all rise when he comes to the stadium. It's awesome.
That's cool.
Nice touch. It's one of those really cool things. Okay. So before we move on, there were a couple of Choose Your Adventures that did not get chosen here. One of them, which is the Jew Crew, and that was in regards to Max Kepler. And it was one, and I wanted to know more about Max Kepler, Matt, as he was somebody that got very, very hot for like a week last year, and he was all the rage in fantasy baseball. Now, Kepler is owned in just 37% of CBS Sports League. He had a home run last night. Is Max Kepler somebody we should be talking about more?
He's somebody that does have potential. Is he of German descent?
Yeah, he's German.
Yeah. That's what I thought.
Did you make a mistake, Greg?
It's certainly possible.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
I think Kepler, in 15 teams, rare. Obviously, he's owned. But in the 12-team league, he is a guy that does have the skills that could really help you. As you mentioned last season, we saw a nice little streak by him. Hopefully, he can expand on that.
Yeah, last night with him and Miguelson, now they had combined for 7 hits, and they became I think one of the first combinations in Major League history to both be under 24 and have a home run and 3 hits in a game, back to back.
Is Max Kepler someone you're interested in picking up, Scotty?
Yeah, I think the offensive potential is definitely there. So yes, Matt said it well. Even in a 12-team league, I think you got to consider him.
Okay.
This Twins team is playing impressive baseball.
Kepler, by the way, his real name is Maximilian Kepler Ruski.
He's from. I don't know what that means.
He's from Berlin.
Yeah,
he was not a German Jew. No.
Made a mistake. Don't worry about it. I'm still your friend.
I admit my mistakes. Minnesota beat Baltimore last night 14-7. It was Kyle Gibson allowing 6 runs.
Football game.
Yeah.
Allowing 6 runs in the win. 5 innings pitched, 7 hits. He walked 4, struck out 5. Ubaldo got bombed even worse. 4 innings, 9 hits, 6 runs. I don't know how this guy is still in a rotation. It doesn't make sense to me.
Adam Jones did go yard this game. It was his 125th home run. At Oriole Park in Camden Yards, no player has hit more at that stadium.
There you go. Ryan Dozier steals his 7th base of the year, while Byron Buxton steals his 5th. Adam Jones goes deep the 8th time
Start
in 2017. Stick around. Roto Experts in the Morning wraps up right after this. Despite leading the league in saves, Greg Holland was not needed last night in an 8-1 victory for Colorado as Jeff Hoffman, the spot start, 7 innings, 3 hits, 1 run, didn't walk a batter, struck out 7. And it's crazy because there's no spot for Jeff Hoffman in the rotation right now. My question for you gentlemen, though, is not in regards to Jeff Hoffman, I've already told you how I feel about Rockies pitchers. Matt Modica, should Jared Eichhoff be dropped?
Maybe I'm a little biased here. I'm going to say no. It's a long season. I still like this guy. Quick on Jeff Hoffman. I picked him up in 2 leagues last week. I dropped him in 1. Same thing you say with the Rockies. I started him in the one that I kept. So that worked out well. But we'll see how it goes this weekend. I don't know. I just like Jared Eichhoff too much. It's 2 months in. It's a 6-month season. I think this guy's proven he's a better pitcher.
You know, I actually cut Vince Velasquez in my 12-team league this past week. You know, after he had another bad start and he told ESPN that he was clueless.
That's what he said. Yeah. He's being tough on himself, huh?
I was in Philly for that, and I was with Philly fans, and I was just like, what the?
Oh, wow. Oh,
God. Yeah, Eichhoff on the year 0-5 with a 4.70 ERA.
I can see why he would want to hold on to him, though. I feel like he's way better pitcher than what we've seen.
Yesterday, Arenado hits his 12th home run of the year. Charlie Blackman stole his fourth base of the season. There you go. That was Jeff Hoffman filling in yesterday. Get an opportunity. And he pitched really, really well, Corey. Yeah. In Philadelphia, not an easy pitch, place to pitch. Two spot starts, two wins for Jeff Hoffman.
Yeah, yeah. He's spot starting and getting the W's.
Yeah, yes.
He kept the ball down, and he had a really he had a really nice curve going yesterday.
Absolutely.
Too. Yeah.
These first 2 months for the Rockies' starting rotation has been pretty amazing. I want to look at it after the next 2 months.
Yeah, let's see where it's at.
And this team has been historically struggled on the road. They have won 16 to 23 on the road this year.
Historically also. I know they've gotten off to some hot starts in April, into May, and then they just go on this monstrous losing streak. They're going to have to avoid that now. Of course, pitching is much better. It's younger. It's different. It's not the same old retreads that we're so used to seeing in Colorado. Hopefully now for the Rockies it will be different.
And at least in an NL-only league, you got to be looking at Alex Amarista. Like, he's not playing every day, but they really like him.
Yeah, Alex Amarista is very, very interesting because we talked about Pavelica a lot. And Amarista, when he plays, he is performing very, very well, Scotty. And he was somebody that I wanted to ask you today. Not just NL-only leagues. Should he be owned in standard leagues?
I think when you have a watch list, he's somebody you put on the watch list because you don't know what kind of playing time he's going to get. I remember, you know, he pushed his way into some playing time in San Diego a few years ago and did okay.
Real quick with the Rockies, Cargo has been heating up, so
it's coming.
If you want to get him now.
I was offered Cargo for Billy Hamilton yesterday. I said no. I like Billy Hamilton. He's my guy.
I don't know if I'd do that either. If I, you know.
You?
No.
He's a one-category player.
Two categories now. He's scoring runs.
Oh! Oh! He came around.
There it is.
He came around. That's going to be you and Isaiah Crowell later on this year.
There it is.
I don't think so.
Corey
Kessler.
What's coming up next on the OGs?
Coming up next on the OGs, we're going to have a simulated draft.
Like a simulated game.
Like a simulated game. Matt Modica's on the clock today. His first draft of the year, or second draft of the year. First NFFC draft champions. We're going to simulate the draft for Matt Modica. So it's like we're giving him a start to see if he can go out there. You know what I'm saying? It's like a simulated game.
Do you sell tickets?
No, it's no tickets. We sell
if
tickets
it's a
on the radio.
Game, though, you at least have to have like the ballpark music and stuff, though.
We're gonna get it popping right here on the radio.
We'll get Matt in the zone ready to draft.
He's ready to draft right now, so we want to see where he's at.
I'm excited to listen to that, of course, coming up here in just a couple minutes from now. It's the Old School Fantasy Hour, Corey Parson, Matt Modica, and George Kurtz. That's going to do it for us here. This has been the Roto Experts in the Morning. Of course, we'll be back tomorrow, 8 a.m. Eastern, for another 2 hours of fun. Thanks to Nando DeFino and Chris Pavona downstairs. For Matt Modica, for Scott the King Angle, and for Corey the Fantasy Executive Parson, my name is Greg Sussman. Have a fantastic Tuesday afternoon, and we will see you tomorrow morning. Bye-bye. Have a good one, everybody.